Good morning, ladies. How are we today? Okay, you guys know me by now. How are you this morning? Awesome. Wasn't worship amazing? It's such a blessed time to be able to come and just sit and praise our Father, especially when you sit and you genuinely listen to those lyrics. I'm like almost in tears. It was a really sweet time. So thank you, Alicia and Celine. It's our last day, our last Bible study. It's sad, right? It goes by way too fast. But we do have some things coming up. You were given two flyers when you walked in. Do you guys have those? Awesome. That has some great information on it. And I just have a few announcements before we get our morning started. Our women's will have a table out starting Sunday, November 21st for donations of Christmas gifts for the children of our U-Turn parents. So please stop by and pick up a tag and you can find out more details of what all of that entails. So again, November 21st is when we will have a table starting for that, if that's something that you would like to help out with. And then again, mark your calendars for December 3rd. It is our women's Christmas and market celebration. We will have a fun time of fellowship. There will be worship and a message. It's just a great night out. I really encourage you guys to make it a girls' night out, a mom's night out. Grab your daughters, your sisters, or your moms, and bring them along. Just so you guys are aware, there will be some shopping. So at our market, you want to come beforehand, maybe pick up some Christmas gifts, get started a little bit early, right? But I wanted to let you guys know also that this event is free. So come and join us. It's going to be a really great night. It was a lot of fun last year. And then Revival Moms, which is very near and dear to my heart, is going to be having a bake sale. And you guys know that I think we have some amazing bakers in here. We would love to have your help. It's on November 14th, which is not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And we are just raising funds to help with keeping our expenses and tuition for the moms low. So if you can help us out, that would greatly bless us by just baking some goods and dropping them off on the 14th, okay? There will also be a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. And then finally, there is a one-day apologetics conference for women being held at Calvary Chapel of Corona on Saturday, November 20th. A few of our leaders are going to be going to that. So we have flyers in the foyer with more information if you are interested. Okay. And that concludes all of my announcements for this morning. So we're going to go ahead and get this day started. Like I said, as promised, we now have the blessing of being able to hear testimonies from five of our leaders. We will begin with Norma Fagan, and she's going to be here in front of the stage, but she'll have a mic so that you guys can hear her. So give her a round of applause.
Good morning. Hey, it's working. My name is Norma, and I'm 87 years old. On Sunday, thank you. On Sunday, the pastor talked about Daniel, who at 90 was serving the Lord. I've been serving my Lord for over 50 years. And I'm giving this testimony to encourage you in your walk, that it should go your whole lifetime. You know, that Jesus, he said to us that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But in order to receive that life, you need to stay in the Word, read the Word, walk the Word, pray without ceasing, and share fellowship with each other. I grew up in a Christian home. I was taken to church, to Sunday school. I knew God, but I never knew Jesus, really. You know, I never accepted him. When I was 21, I graduated from nursing school, went out in the world. I married a non-believer at 25. After 10 years of marriage and 6 kids, my husband said, I don't love you. I don't want to be married to you. So he left me without support with the children. My children, God with me, they all graduated from college. 5 of them are serving the Lord, and I'm praying for the 6th. My dad immediately, when my husband did this, he really pushed me into the Word. I went back to church. I went to an adult Bible study. I started teaching the third grade in Sunday school. And then one Sunday, the Word said, lead the children to Jesus. I didn't know how to do that because I hadn't done it. So I told my adult group, I said, I'm going to quit. And they said, no, don't quit. We'll teach it for you. So one person came and led my class to Jesus. That night, I went home, went into the bathroom, and closed the door. With six little kids, that's your privacy. And so I said to God, I want to do everything you want me to do, but I just can't do it. So I'm going to have to ask for Jesus to come into my heart. And I did that. And I've Jesus said that sometimes the word falls on stony ground, some on thorns, and others on good ground that reap a crop. The word fell on good ground in my heart because I was ready for Jesus. I wanted so badly to serve Lord, and I didn't feel that I was doing it. The Christian walk is not easy. There are many trials in it. You know, the scripture tells us in James, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right? Knowing that the testing of your faith is going to test your faith. It's going to grow from the trials that you walk through. I've walked through many trials. I could stay here most of the day and tell you about them, but I won't. I'll just tell you a few of them and know that I came through every one of them, that the Lord took me through it. I raised six kids alone. My family was all in another state. And I worked full-time and often overtime to supply our needs. I came within one day of losing my house because when my husband didn't pay me, all of a sudden I missed a payment. And how do I make up with it with no money? But within one day. And the Lord delivered that money, not from my husband, because God wanted me to depend on him. So he supplied that money. Anything that could break. The water heater went, the furnace broke, the water line to the house, the roof leaked, no money for coats for my kids. But one night when I went to work, I worked 3 to 11, and I sat in my car and I prayed and I said to God, I need money for a yak, 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 yak. And that night I went home, went to bed. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard beating on my door and I thought someone was breaking in. And then I heard someone yelling, your house is on fire, your house is on fire. So I got all the kids, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, out of the house. And the garage burnt completely to the ground, nothing left, completely burnt, but it did not touch the house. And when the money came in for what had been in the garage, it supplied the needs I had asked God to provide for. Watch out what you pray for. I have one son that was a practicing homosexual for 20 years. And then one night a few years ago, he called me and said, crying and said, I want to give my heart to God again. So he's back with the Lord. I have a daughter who only spoke to me 2 times in 20 years. And she, within the last 6 months, has asked me to forgive her. But she's not walking with the Lord yet, so we still need prayer there. My oldest son, who just turned 61, had several strokes, and he's been paralyzed from the neck down for the last 8 months. He's unable to speak, so his mind is active. You know, he looks at you with his eyes, but he's just turned from side to side and taken care of. And I've asked God to heal him, but that hasn't happened. The doctors 1 week ago said that we can depend on that he's only going to get weaker and weaker and he will die within a short time. But God, right? My job is to pray and it's to accept God's will. You know, that God is in every trial that we go through, leading us closer to him so our faith is stronger. All those promises in the Bible, 5,000 to 7,000, however many they are, they're for us. For you, for me, and I'm claiming those promises and walking on them. In Isaiah, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Stay in the Word, walk the Word, pray without ceasing, and fellowship with each other. Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing testimony. I loved how she said that through every trial, God is with you, right? He doesn't forsake us, and he's growing your faith and your dependency on him. So thank you, Norma. Next, we have Beth Watkins. Please give her a warm welcome.
Good morning. I don't know if we're supposed to say our age. I'm 55. I was adopted as an infant and did not grow up in a Christian home. My household growing up was very chaotic. My mother had mental issues, which caused her to be institutionalized on occasion. My father was working a lot. What I needed was safety, stability, and security, but it was definitely lacking. During one of my mother's episodes, I was sent to her brother's home for the summer. They had a friend come stay the night while I was there. And he molested me. I was 10. As a teenager, I turned to relationships with people much older than me, drinking, experimenting with drugs to escape a chaotic household. But I was only creating chaos. In the spring of what should have been my senior year in high school, which I did not attend, I gave birth to a child and put that child up for adoption. I was 17. After the baby was born, I was out and living on my own. I was a kid emotionally working and living in an adult world. I longed for stability. What I needed was security, and I again went about it the wrong way. I began dating a man, 8 years my senior, when I was 17. We were married and divorced by the time that I was 26. I was making highly poor choices, but I would talk to God about being a better person, about not doing bad things again, or to please take me out of the bad situation, which I was in mostly because of my own bad decisions. I've always known that there was a God. What I didn't know was who God is. I thought I could get to heaven by being a good person and not doing bad things. There came a time in my early 30s when there was such a conviction about turning my life around. I didn't understand what forgiveness could do for me, and I didn't understand what salvation meant for me. I didn't understand grace, mercy, trust, and faith, and I didn't know what it meant to be a daughter to a living God. What I did know is that I was filled with guilt, shame, and remorse. How can God, who sees everything, who I know created everything, how can he possibly forgive me for my shameful behavior? The inappropriate relationships, pregnancy, abortion, drinking, rebellion, the evil, all of it. I was brokenhearted and I needed healing. I started thinking about where I was going to spend my eternity. There are some folks who can tell you the date and time of their acceptance of Jesus. My husband is one of those people. I am not. I know there were seeds planted from my teenage years, and along the way they were watered. And I know it was all the work of the Holy Spirit. I just started talking to God. I poured my heart out to the Lord and asked him to forgive me for all my sins, many I thought were unforgivable, and asked him to be the Lord of my life. And I believe my exact words starting out were, "Help me, I cannot do this anymore." And he has, and he did. I have the love of a perfect father. I have the security and guidance of the Holy Spirit, who did not let up on me. I have the mercy, grace, and peace of my Savior Jesus, who willingly laid down his life for a wretch like me, clothed me in his righteousness, and he advocates for me. God has blessed me. God has blessed me with a husband, 6 children, and 6 grandchildren. I no longer walk in shame or guilt, but with purpose to share the love of Christ in whatever manner he chooses. I don't think public speaking will be it, but Psalm 27:10 says, "When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears." Psalm 31:1 says, "In you, Lord, I put my trust. Never let me be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness." Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. What amazing thing that our Father sees us and he hears us and he meets us exactly where we are and he forgives us of our sins. And there's no one too far gone for him to do that for. So let's give Beth another round of applause. Thank you. And then let's continue that warm welcome in welcoming up Bonnie Oakes.
Well, I wasn't planning on crying, but Beth had already got me started, so. I was also raised in a very dysfunctional family. There was emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, which also included the threat of guns. Both of my parents committed adultery, did drugs, and started drinking excessively when I was in my teenage years. They fought constantly. Just to give an example of the physical abuse, my dad would spank us with a leather belt and tell us he was not going to stop spanking until we stopped crying. He would also keep us up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning digging trenches in frozen ground till our toes and fingers were numb, and then he'd keep us out of school because, according to him, it was a play session, so we didn't need to be there. We had no Christian training or upbringing, so I knew nothing of God or his word, but what I did know was that there couldn't be a God. There were no boundaries in my home, so as an adult, I started doing a lot of the same things that my parents had done because I didn't know how to set boundaries. When I was 28, I got into Amway, and at a convention one Sunday, they did an altar call after a Christian message, and I responded to the altar call. A couple of weeks later, I still wasn't sure if God was real or not, so I cried out to God and said, God, if you're really real, I need to know it, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I knew at that very moment, without any doubt whatsoever, that God was real. I could feel the Holy Spirit descend upon me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. I never experienced such peace in my life. My life radically changed at that very moment. It's not that I ever sinned or never sinned after that. There were things God had to strip from me, one of which was relations outside of marriage. Having no boundaries growing up, I had to learn how to set boundaries and that it was even okay for me to do that, because I didn't even know that. My husband and I have been married for almost 23 years now, and we did not even kiss before we got married, and we have a fabulous marriage today. I've led about 20 people to the Lord, including both of my parents. I've spoken in several different countries on God's word, including Africa, India, Scotland, and England. I've led small group women's Bible studies in the over 30 plus years that I've been a Christian, and I've taught classes on exegeting the scriptures, prayer and fasting, and the differences between Islam and Christianity. I am an entirely new creation. I've read through the Bible a number of times, and it continues to fascinate me. Jesus saved me from myself. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can see the Father or get into heaven unless they are born again. And I can say with absolute certainty that I have been born again. And I'm so grateful that Jesus died on the cross for my salvation. I can't imagine what my life would be like in the long run if that had not happened. He died for me, and he also died for you.
As we hear these testimonies, it's amazing to be reminded that we are a new creation made in Christ, and no matter our past, he is the one that tells us who we are, right? So what an amazing thing. If we can give a warm welcome to Cindy and Brielle next.
Good morning, ladies. I, too, did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up on a farm in Arizona. We learned to work hard, play hard. Our parents took us to church every Sunday. What I mean by a Christian home is we went to a denominational church, but I never heard a thing. If And I'm sure at one point or another the gospel was told to me, but it definitely fell on deaf ears. My teen years were very rebellious. I tried and did pretty much anything. I was in trouble all the time. I was grounded constantly, so much so that if church camp came around, I decided that it was time to go, just so I could see my friends, but also so I could get out of the house because I was grounded all the time. My junior year of high school, I met my husband, and we had two children. This time my son was 4 and my daughter was 1. At this time we had lost 3 businesses. We lost a trucking company, we lost a fitness center, and we were on our 3rd loss. He was trying to salvage it over here in California. So he's traveling the whole time. I'm home with the kids. I'm working several jobs to keep afloat. And he never came home. And my husband was not saved either. He grew up never going to church. But as I was at home, I still wanted to go to church. I knew that it felt good. I knew that when I left, and I think it was, and I'm sure it was, the weight of the sin made me feel better for going. But anyway, as long as I was going to church and coming home, I'm sure I was good with God. Well, my son is 4 years old. My daughter's 1. I am working at this another health club out there. And at night, these 3 ladies from the restaurant would come over and witness to me. And they drove me nuts. Every night, they came and witnessed to me. And I would start hiding from them in the gym, and or out by the pool. I would hide, but I would just tell them, I'm good, I go to church, I'm good. Well, one of them asked me, do you know Jesus as your best friend? Is he your all in all? Do you ever read his word? And I was stuck, I couldn't answer that question. Well, my son being 4 at this time, I decided to sign him up for preschool. So I get a name of a preschool from a friend. I go to sign up at this preschool, and I come in, and the principal's showing me the classrooms, and they have Bibles on the desk. And I think, okay, this is good, all right. So I sign him up for preschool. The next morning, I go to drop him off, and who's in the carpool line taking your kids out of your car but these 3 witnesses? And I could no longer hide from them. I'm sitting right there just with my, you can't be here. And so I go to work that night and decided I'll just tell them right up front, I'll go to church with you this Sunday, then I could get it all out of the way. Well, I did. I went to church with them that next Sunday. Unbeknownst to me, like 10 of us at the gym went. They had been everywhere. It wasn't just me. But I went and I heard it. I heard the Lord speak to me. The message was on joy, and I had no joy. My husband at the time was never coming home. Our marriage, we had a wedge in our marriage from the loss of the businesses, but there were several times the kids and I would go to pick him up at the airport, and this was before cell phones, an hour ride to the airport, and he didn't get off. He didn't come off the plane. Go back home, we were there, you didn't get, where are you? Oh, I decided not to come home. This would go on for about 5 and 6 weeks at a time. So I was ready to end my marriage. I was so depressed, heavily in a dark spot, because I knew I was a sinner. So when I heard this message of joy, I literally jumped up front for this altar call, gave my life to the Lord. And from that day forward, I went from darkness to light. I went from and by the way, it's my birthday. It was 34 years ago today, November 4th, that I went for. I know, thank you, Lord. But I did, I was so blessed by those 3 witnesses that they came along my side. And for the first year, their dad, who was the pastor of the church, that's why they were always there, their dad and them took me through the book of John. I see the value in checking and following up on those that you've been able to witness to or to see come to the Lord or walk forward for an altar call, or in your Bible study, you see them growing and they don't show up and to check on them. But I do see the value in that. For a whole year, I was taught the book of John. The next year, the Lord gave me the privilege of working with kids. I didn't like kids. I didn't like anybody's kids but my own kids. But once I got saved, I loved every, and still to this day, I love everybody's kids. I wanted to serve God through children. Well, God layered it. He gave me a heart for women's ministry. He gave me a heart for missions. The Lord inside of us, we are just his empty vessels that he can, we can be his hands, his feet, his ears, his eyes, his touch. But once we empty ourselves and let him take residence, he can use us in such mighty ways to make him known. He saved me for his namesake, and that is my life, is to make his name known, whether it be with children, whether it be with women and encouraging them and moving them along or whatever. I see the value that God places in us as his instruments. And I see that God can use, I didn't go into my dirty years, but they were, that was bad. God can use anyone. I didn't think that he could ever use me. I didn't think that I could ever know God. I remember pondering him and just giving it up, because if he was out there, he wouldn't want me. But I can say that God is so good, so faithful. If you're in a down spot, run to him. If you feel afar off, he's right there. Thank you.
Well, God bless those three witnesses. It's amazing how just how the Lord uses people in our lives and plants seeds. And I will second what Cindy said about sometimes we can be afraid to share our testimony or to share the gospel with someone. And you may be one of those witnesses for somebody else in their life and in their testimony. So if we can give a warm welcome for Lupita, our last testimony.
Hi, I'll try not to look at you or I'll just blank. But I was born in Mexico into a family of seven children, and I was raised Catholic. At the age of 10, a friend of mine invited me to VBS, and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. That day, I went running home to tell my mother what I had learned. But after I did, my mother figured out that this wasn't a Catholic church, and out of fear to the Lord and to the church, she didn't let me return to learn more about the Bible. So years went by, and I didn't grow in the Lord, but the Lord didn't forget about me. I have made some bad choices growing up, but the Lord in his infinite mercy and love worked everything for my own good. By the age of 17, I was already married and had a son. My husband came to the United States to ask his sister if she would let us stay with her until he found a job. Little we knew that pursuing a better financial situation, the Lord was orchestrating every move so that we could have that personal encounter with him. My sister-in-law had recently accepted the Lord, and she was sharing the Lord with everyone. We were living with her at the time, and she started to invite us into church, but I kept rejecting her invitation. Until one day, we attended church, and the pastor was reading John 3:16. It was as if I was the only person in that church, and the Lord was speaking directly to me. When I heard the invitation to receive Christ as my Savior, I raised my hand and I repeated the sinner's prayer. After that, I was so hungry to know what else was in that Bible that nobody had ever told me. Not long after that, a lady sang a song that talked about how there are many that worship Jesus' cross, but I worship the Jesus of the cross. I realized that I had been adoring a symbol, and I had been ignoring the one that had given it a meaning. I had a religion, but I didn't have a relationship with him. A year or two after my conversion, a group came to our church to minister. I recognized the lady that had led me to Christ when I was 10 years old. That day, the Lord showed me that he had all he had done for me. He was watching over me, and he was in control of all my circumstances, and he used all my mistakes to bring me close to him. He had to take me away from my family, my country, and my religion to reveal himself to me. In his sovereign and perfect timing, he brought me close to him to redeem me. Through all my life, he has been so faithful. I have a godly husband. We've been married for over 36 years, and I can't thank God enough for saving me and transforming me when my son was still an infant. He has given me a true purpose in life, and out of love and gratitude, I serve him.
If you notice the theme of through the testimonies of how the Lord strips away and continues until we get to a place where we realize we can't do it without him, right? It's his mercy and his grace and his love and his work on the cross that saved us. So if we can give another round of applause to these ladies. Thank you so much. If you've never given your testimony, it can be nerve-wracking, but the Lord uses it in such a mighty way. So if you guys don't mind, before I let you go, we're going to close out in prayer. So if you guys will bow your heads with me.